Thanks for downloading this episode of the Simcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching for the Simcast wherever they get their podcasts. The Simcast on RS1.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Simcast, your weekly source for sim racing news, occasional silliness, and what's the word I want to use here? Just general tomfoolery. I think that's a good one. It's US week.
I was going to say, that's the one you normally use.
Yeah. It's US week, so of course, that means it's Taco Thursday. I'm, of course, Mr. Ben Williams, and joining me as ever, Louis Satterley. How are you doing this week, Louis?
Not bad. Stressful at work. Weather's terrible down here at the moment. It's hot or it's wet.
Isn't that just Florida the entire year?
No. We do get dry seasons.
Yeah, well.
Believe it or not, we do get dry seasons.
In Pennsylvania, it's wait 5 minutes, the weather will be different.
Florida, it's like wait 2 seconds. Storms today just rolled right in around 3 o'clock and had no signs of them whatsoever, and then just bam!
In college or university, for our UK-based audience, I literally had a day where I got snowed on, rained on, sleeted on, had blaring sun, I had overcast. What it basically came down to was that I literally experienced every single weather pattern, except for extreme storms, in one day.
Hey, I'm just happy I didn't get a hurricane after this past weekend.
Yeah.
For like the last 2 or 3 years now, the weekend after Labor Day weekend, we've had a hurricane. And I didn't get one this year. I'm happy.
Yeah. I got enough rain as it was just from the last one. I was directly.
Did you get effects off the tropical storm?
Yeah, I was directly in that path.
Oh,
that
wow.
It came up through the States. So okay. I didn't get any real damage. I had a pretty wet basement after it was all said and done, but I
did you have yourself an in-ground swimming pool going?
Not quite.
Indoor in-ground swimming pool?
No, but our sub pumps pretty much ran for 48 hours straight.
Okay, well, that's what they're made for, right?
Yep, that's what they are made for. However, when the sub pumps are running, you can hear them throughout the house, so you always felt like you needed to go to the restroom.
Well, be glad you heard that and not what sounded like splashing happening, which would mean a flooded basement.
Yeah, I did. I did have to make a small towel, a berm, like a sandbag berm, to get water that was flowing into my basement to go down a drain instead of pooling in the middle of the floor.
Ah,
that was fun. But anyway, welcome to the Simcast. We do occasionally talk about sim racing news and apparently the weather. Anyway, you can follow us on Twitter at Simcast Radio. Let us know what you're thinking about the show using the hashtag SimcastRSL. And as always, all four of us are members of the collective, so you can contact us this way. So, before we get started with pretty much a heavy iRacing show. Louis, have you gotten the chance to get your hands on WRC10 yet? I knew you were going to be purchasing it.
I did. Actually, I haven't gotten a lot of hands-on stuff, and actually, I did, because actually, that company's gotten a lot of bit of my money over the last week, because I went ahead and bought a WRC9 just like a week and a half beforehand, just to get reacquainted with their physics system and such. And actually, I will say this, 10 via controller, and I got it on my PS4, by the way, 10 via controller is way smoother and a lot less twitchy than 9. And the visuals are way better as well.
Yeah.
The road glare was wicked bad, especially if you had to do a night stage and it was raining. You literally could not see any of the signage, and just the glare from the headlights off the road, you couldn't see where the edge of the road was. And it was just, basically, in my experience, that wasn't fun. And then going to 10 so far has been miles ahead different. And different for the better.
So in a yearly game, they've actually made a pretty significant step.
Yeah, and I'm also wondering if it has to do with them trying to do like a last-ditch effort or trying to be like, haha, ours was better whenever Codemasters gets a hold of it, mm-hmm. sort of thing.
They still have another year to do before Codemasters really gets their hands on it. So
yeah. So, but it still makes me wonder if that's what they're trying to do. That way, mm-hmm. you know, they could like, oh, you made a bad decision by leaving us or not giving us the license, and ours was way better than theirs, sort of thing.
Yeah.
That's kind of, I'm wondering if that's what's actually going on or not, mm-hmm. because it is a fairly significant jump.
Yeah. So what have you driven so far?
Just the junior rally so far.
Okay.
Yeah, I went straight into the career mode, and I mean, it's a little bit more in depth, I would say, on the R&D side of things, from what mm-hmm. I've seen. Not fully, but from what I have seen. So I can't make a full commitment on the R&D side of things. But over on the traditional rallies, I've done a couple of the historic cars, simply because it's the historic cars. That's the first thing I want to look at. It's like, ooh, I wonder what that drives like.
Yeah.
You know, I've driven the Alpine A110 in both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say the physics in 10, once again, is way better, and it's not so twitchy. So I think it's just overall a better physics engine.
Yeah.
So, I mean, things just aren't twitchy. The rear wheel drives don't, like, you stomp on the gas, and then instantly when you turn it, it just wants to trade ends on you. Mm-hmm. It doesn't do that as much as before. And this is all with the same assist and all that stuff on and or off, for that matter. But yeah, I mean, to me, it's miles better. The graphics, this is, again, via the PS4. I can't speak for the PC side of things. It looks miles, or not miles, but about the same.
Mm-hmm.
I was about to say miles better. I don't know why I said that. But yeah, I mean, everything's up to date. The rally stages look good. And yeah. That's really my only real gripe about the graphics between the two, was actually 9 was way worse with the glares than what 10 is.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Have you gotten the chance to mess with the livery design part of it yet?
I have not.
Okay. That's the part I'm the most curious about, honestly. Just because you and I are both pretty familiar with Forza's paint, like in-game paint booth, so mm-hmm. I'm wondering how it compares.
Admittedly, that is Forza's strong suit, is that they seem to be miles ahead of everybody else when it comes to the paint booth. PlayStation got real close with it with Gran Turismo Sport.
Yeah, well, Gran Turismo Sport also, to be fair, Gran Turismo Sport does some things that Forza's just doesn't do.
Yeah, exactly.
Like putting stickers on carbon fiber, which apparently you can't do in Forza. Not that I'm still salty about that.
Yeah. But I'll say probably out of all the games that I've had a livery editor, Gran Turismo Sport's probably come the closest so far of what I've experienced. But I haven't touched Rally yet or WRC10 yet, so I'm not going to hold my judgment back on that one. That'll potentially be something that Matt and Jordan could talk about next week.
Yeah. Yeah, because I know Matt has made that purchase, so he'll probably share his own thoughts next week on that.
I know, he's been ranting and raving about it online like crazy.
He's also been very excited for it, if any of our previous shows have been any indication. Anyway, so just kind of a final thought, would you recommend this to anyone who's enjoyed any of the previous WRC games, or do you think that if you have 9, it's a good enough experience, you don't need to buy the next one?
I'll say if you've had 9 and you're struggling with your controller and you're wondering if you should get 10, I would recommend getting 10. Because it is that much smoother and that much more easier to manage. If it's been a while since you've gotten a WRC title, I would still recommend it going into it. Year upon year, the content doesn't really much change when it comes to the modern stuff. It's basically the previous season that they come out with. And yeah, I mean, it's just the latest and greatest. It's like one of the football games that you get, or a hockey game where you get the latest and greatest every time, and they do updates. But this time, I think it's a much more enjoyable playing experience.
All right. So if you are interested in WRC-10, you can take that glorious endorsement from Lewis and see if you decide to buy that for yourself. And again, Matt will share his thoughts next week. Moving right along from one dirt game, dirt focus game to another, Dirt 5 has released their Wild Spirits content pack, which basically all it really includes is two new cars, and it's available on all of their platforms, so PC, PS4, PS5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series XRS. The two cars in question are the all-new Ford Bronco, which I know this is a controversial opinion, but I kind of like the way this looks.
Right.
Yeah, because... And this pains me to say as a Mopar guy, but Ford seems to be understanding the recent trend of updating classic designs to a modern aesthetic better than Dodge and Chevy have recently.
Well, in fairness, again, they were the first ones to do it back in 06 whenever they redesigned the Mustang to look
Then again, the Charger and Challenger have not really changed much in the last decade. So
no, they haven't.
So you get the all-new Ford Bronco, which of course is the one of the cover cars from Forza Horizon 5. So Ford sharing the love there. And you also get a purpose-built Dakar Rally car in the ProDrive Hunter, which was famously driven by Sebastian Loeb and Nai Roma. Alongside the two new vehicles, this dedicated career ran with 25 new events, two new sponsors in the form of Alpine Stars and VP Racing Fuels, plus five trophies and or achievements to collect, depending on which system you play the game on. It is a separate pack for, and the conversions on this are weird, but they kind of make sense. So it's $12.50 US American dollars.
Wow.
£10.
For two cars.
Yeah, for two cars.
And livers.
And a bunch of career stuff, or €11.50.
So
and it also, for you, it's also free of charge for those who have the Amplified / Year One Edition owners. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't know if it's been mentioned or I've mentioned it yet, but I actually, within the last month or month and a half, I've finally got my hands on Dirt 5.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, via my PlayStation, and me personally didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong, I know, understand the Dirt series has definitely gone more arcadey, but this,
yeah,
to me personally, this borderline Mickey Mouse arcadey. it was so bad, unfortunately.
Yeah. Honestly, I think most of the people who listen to this show would typically be happy with if Codemasters just made the Dirt Rally series and didn't really bother with the Dirt series, just kind of focus on the more hardcore stuff. But I mean, Dirt 5 is also having to now compete with like Forza Horizon in the fun off road point a car at the horizon and just pitch get towards it kind of game. So they're definitely trying to find new ways to differentiate themselves.
Which Turn 10 Studios along with Playground Games has definitely got that one beat by miles.
Yeah. So there's also a couple new free content that comes with this. There's two new Morocco Stampede tracks, and they include, and I'm going to try to pronounce these correctly, I'll probably get it wrong, Ant-Ogier or Tynerar, something along those lines. Also, in addition, the Create Your Own Event Playground modes now include weather options of fog and sandstorm, and five more real-world vehicle liveries have been added for the Mini Cooper SX1, the Armada Engineering Unlimited Truck, the Volkswagen Beetle Rallycross, the Porsche Macan T1 Rally Raid, and the Renault Megane RS RX. There's a couple other minor things that came with update 6, but none of those are really that interesting, if that makes sense. Nothing that originally suits our standards of trying to find the most interesting line in an update change log. So, yeah, that's about does it for Dirt 5 news, unless you have something you want to add, Louis.
Not in particular, actually.
Yeah, that one's just kind of super short and simple update. Adding two new cars that...
I think that's just outrageous that they're charging that much
for it. Yeah, it does seem a little bit much. For two cars, but granted, that's still less than one car on iRacing.
It's still less than one car on iRacing, yes, but I mean... I had a huge gripe against Turn 10 whenever they went from 10 cars for that much down to 7.
Mm-hmm.
And this is literally two cars that you're not entirely guaranteed to use.
Two cars.
If it doesn't suit your fancy sort of thing. I mean, granted, you do have the choice of not getting them if you don't want to. Yeah. But, I mean, still, it's just... If you wanted one and not the other, you literally just spent $12 for a single car, which does put it right back into the iRacing picture. It's just...
Yeah. But to be fair, that price also includes all of the physics stuff that goes with the car on iRacing.
Yeah,
and
it does.
It, as you just kind of said, this game doesn't really have that.
No, it's very cookie cutter to where pretty much every vehicle handles exactly the same, just looks different.
Yeah. So,
sadly enough, the sprint cars on there are absolutely terrible too. Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah, I remember us being excited about that.
I was, and then when I finally got my hands on that and I tried them out, first of all, the racing surface of it isn't even remotely close to being like what you would expect.
Mm-hmm.
Even from an arcade side of things. I mean, the physical attributes of it where it looks like you're racing across cracked ice with the Aurora Borealis underneath it, for gosh sakes.
Yeah.
It's weird.
All right. Well, take those comments about Dirt 5 as you may. Of course, again, this is available for all of their various platforms. And yeah, that's about it, really. Moving right along. Since we're talking about some more console-based stuff, Gran Turismo is back in the news.
Yay!
Before I say anything else, it's not for a delay, so we're not talking about Gran Turismo 7 being delayed again. I hope not. But it has been confirmed by Sony recently that the 7th installment of the famous Gran Turismo series will be both on the PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5 consoles.
Which, actually, I think that's the first time they've done something like this.
I'm going to default to, do you want to cover when it comes to PlayStation stuff? Because I've only owned one PlayStation my entire gaming career.
I've owned all of them except for the most recent one at some point or another.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can't really get your hands on either of the current gen consoles, really.
No, I was going to say, actually, I was looking at trying to get one as a gift for a friend, and unfortunately, you can't even get them to pre-order one for you.
Yeah.
Or to get one on shipping delay, and I think actually their next real shipment where it's not backed up is actually beyond Christmas.
Yeah.
At least down here. I have yet to find one anywhere.
Yeah, it seems
want to
be...
spend an exponential amount of money on eBay or something like that.
Yeah, it seems to be the story pretty much everywhere where things that are happening on the outside of the gaming industry, like, you know, global pandemic, that little thing that everyone pretends is over but still going on, that's causing some major supply issues. So the new generation consoles just aren't available for some people, which I think is kind of what contributed to Sony making this decision ultimately, was that it's their biggest it's one of their biggest franchises. So if you're dealing with a console shortage where a major chunk of your community can't play the next version of one of your biggest franchises, that's going to hurt your bottom line a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah. So that basically means that the PS4 owners who haven't been able to or just didn't want to upgrade to the newest console are going to be able to still play Gran Turismo 7. However,
actually, to be honest with you, I think this is a great idea.
Yeah. I mean,
to be honest with you, I was really dreading actually having to go out just to simply get a PS5 mm-hmm. or have to borrow one from a friend who's willing to let it go for a little bit, which I'll probably only be like for 2 hours, if at all.
Yeah.
To give this game a shot. And now I don't have to do any of that. So I'm sure graphically, the game will be significantly different between the two consoles.
Mm-hmm.
But we'd have to wait and see.
Yeah, that's...
I personally can't wait.
That's one of my concerns with this. First of all, remember that there's probably people out there who, like you, specifically bought a PlayStation 5 to play the next generation of Gran Turismo, only to learn that, oh, I could have just saved myself $500 and just played it on my PlayStation 4. But
yeah, but, I mean, at the same time, if it's anything like what I did whenever I bought my PC when I officially bought it was simply to play iRacing.
Mm-hmm.
And now I don't even touch iRacing. I just play R-Factor and all my other stuff on it. So it has become my console, effectively.
Yeah, mine has too.
But it's a simple aspect of you bought the PS5 and you think you only got it for Gran Turismo. There's going to be other stuff that comes down the line, whether it's sim racing or not, that you're going to buy it for. Or yeah. Play. So, I mean, nearsightedness, it's kind of sucks, but long term, I think it's a pretty mm-hmm. good investment to have.
Yeah. And there's my other concern is that how is this going to affect the way that Gran Turismo 7 works? Like, if you're going to be building a next gen game for current gen consoles that also needs to be played on previous gen consoles, is it going to be like a I can't think of another way to really explain this point. Is it going to be a ACC scenario where ACC on the PC operates completely differently than ACC on an Xbox One or a PlayStation 4, where you're locked to a lower frame rate because of console's inability to do everything that a PC does.
So
that arguably this next generation is basically mini gaming PCs.
They are mini gaming PCs, but at the same time, now I haven't seen the specs lately, but I don't think it'll be that much different considering that usually with any new generation of consoles that they've done, they usually don't find the full potential of games and what they're able to do with those consoles until the very end of the console cycle.
Mm-hmm.
It's been like that forever. I mean, what was it? Whenever we got the Xbox Ones, everybody was saying, you know, that they get to do unlimited amount of stuff because they have the cloud and all yeah. that stuff. And then we really didn't start seeing any of that, even though they talked about it, until 5 years down the road.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't really start seeing the full potential of it. Everybody's like, oh, this is going to be great. This is going to be great. You saw it and it looked graphically amazing, but then it was like you really didn't tap into that much power because you said you had unlimited power, but you just scratched the surface. Well, you know, I didn't get scratch and sniff. I bought the full bottle. You know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I have a feeling it's probably going to be very much so the same thing with this.
Yeah.
And that's based off of the 360 and PlayStation 3 generation was the same way. The original Xbox and the PlayStation 2 generations were also the same way. So,
yeah. I wonder how they're going to get a multiplayer to work. Though, if you're spanning two different console generations, like,
I would imagine if it's based on the server, not so much the console.
Yeah.
I mean, for instance, that's like somebody playing iRacing via a PC or via a Mac. You know, as long as you get onto the server, you're able to do it. So I think that's
a good point. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, so we still aren't going to know what this is, how this is all going to look until we get closer to the planned release date and next year at some point.
I've noticed from years of Gran Turismo stuff, they keep saying they actually, I noticed they don't even bother to put an exact date anymore.
Yeah, I was trying to remember if it was stated as like spring 2022 or fall 2022. I'm thinking it's
2022.
The former rather than the latter. It's sometime in 2022. That's all we basically know right now.
I was going to say, you cover a pretty broad spectrum there, like a shotgun blast with just covering 2022.
Yes. 365 days worth of potential release dates. But anyway, so I assume we'll get more information about this as we get closer to 2022, which, you know, is only 4 months away.
No. Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, this is episode 34. We're almost through the entire year.
Where is this year gone?
I'm not sure.
You know what's throwing me off is that Le Mans was so late this year. That's what's throwing me off.
Yeah. Well, I think we're all still trying to figure out what's happened the last 18 months in general.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was sitting there literally, just as soon as you said 4 months left, I was like, what are you talking about? Le Mans just happened. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, whenever we get more information about what Gran Turismo 7 is going to look like, we will be sure to talk about it here on the show.
Yay!
Yes. So, that now moves us on to iRacing. Because, as I said, there's only 4 months left in this year. That means, of course, the iRacing 2021 Season 4 update has arrived. And there was much rejoicing, except from apparently my co-host. You still with me, Louie?
There we go. That's why you're not hearing me. I accidentally hit my mute button.
Oh, there we go.
Anybody who doesn't know, actually, I do the show with a headset that is 15 years old.
I think,
believe it or not,
get an update or an upgrade of some sort.
The thing is, I can't find anything that I like.
Hmm.
So, I mean, the little felt thing for my ears here, actually, all that's actually dry rotted off. So I don't really have much protection on my ears.
Dear
Unfortunately,
goodness.
Everything comes in real clear. But so it's an old Logitech set, and they conveniently placed like this little handheld volume control, and if you push the center part, it mutes or unmutes yourself.
Yeah.
And it places it like exactly at waist height, so that way it doesn't put so much gravity. I place it right on my lap, and then if I lean over just a little bit too far in my chair, it accidentally presses itself. And I happen to fall victim of that once again. Anyways.
Yes. Anyway, so iRacing 2021 Season 4 is here.
For iRacing.
For iRacing, yes. Yes. There are many things that were in this update, as per usual with the season updates for iRacing. Just a quick couple highlights, and then we'll get into some of the nitty-gritty stuff, but I'm not going to sit here and read the full release notes. You can go find them on the iRacing forums at your own leisure.
I want to go over a certain section of the release notes simply because you listen to it. It's like satirical how-to titles.
Oh, we are totally going to be reading through that. Don't get me wrong. We will get to that part. Here are the highlights. So first of all, the Ferrari 488 GT3 Evo has been added to the game. Though the Evo really doesn't change that much to the GT3 from what I remember. It's mostly cosmetic and some downforce stuff.
I was going to say, they putting in the Evo, does that mean the old one is still there, or they just simply replaced it?
No, I looked at this earlier. The old one is there, except it is now a legacy car that you can buy for $3.
thought they did the legacy cars were free.
Some legacy cars.
Okay, gotcha.
Like, technically, the if I'm remembering this correctly, the C7 DP from right before the DPIs, that's technically legacy, but it's also like $5.
Okay.
It's not legacy, but it's legacy.
And look at that. That single car is now cheaper than two cars on Dirt 5.
Let that sink in for a second.
iRacing, you just won.
Anyway.
First time in a while.
The other new car is the Porsche 911 GT3 Cup.
This is the latest and greatest one, right?
Yeah, this is the latest and greatest one. Yeah. This is the 992. Which, Jordan already got on Matt's case about how all the Porsches look similar. I agree with Jordan. If you want to hear that discussion, go play back episode 33 and listen to Matt spit and sputter while Jordan says that all 911s look the same.
So admittedly, yes, they all do look the same, hence why they're called 911s.
Wait a minute. I forgot you're a Porsche nut.
I am. Hence why the model is 911, but at the same time, if you look at it, it's a design that is way ahead of its time, and the same basic shape has been used since the inception of the 911. So that should show you how impressive that is. Now, that being said, the 992 Cup car is completely different than the 991. And it's because it's based, if I'm not mistaken, when I was reading about it, the car is actually based off of the GT2 model. So it says GT3 Cup, but it's actually a GT2 road chassis. If I'm not mistaken, because they were talking about it and said it's the first time they've made a normally aspirated race car out of a turbo chassis car.
I'm looking it up to verify.
This was way back in February when I was reading about this.
Mm-hmm.
So my memory's kind of scratching me, and I'm sure there's somebody out there just yelling at me like I'm an idiot right now.
I'm just reading iRacing's little blurb. It's kicking up the horsepower to find your during 10 with a typical De Porsche 4-liter flat six. Improvements in chassis construction there. Okay, so it doesn't really get into the nitty gritty of what the car is made.
I think it's actually the 935 GT2 base car. I think that's what the chassis is actually based off of.
Mm-hmm. We'll have to research that further. But anyway, that cup is now available in iRacing for its typical price of, $11.99 for cars.
Something it's like spank new, so it's going to be on the more expensive side.
Anyway, they've also had two new tracks added to the game. Of course, the Hungarian Ring that we already kind of talked about on the show. What can you say about the Hungarian Ring? It's pretty infamous and famous at the same time. The other one that I don't think we've talked about yet on the show is the Hickory Motor Speedway.
Yeah?
Yeah.
North American short track? Heck yeah.
Yep. Kind of the Carolina predecessor to Charlotte, more or less. Like, this is where NASCAR basically went in North Carolina before Charlotte was the Charlotte.
Oh, yeah.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. 3.6 mile. That is a short track.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Of course, those are also available. Hosted AI Racing, which this is interesting, and I'll talk about that more as we go down through the list. New healing, no damage mode. Again, we'll talk about more about that. Art overhaul for the SCCA Spec Racer Ford and Street Stock. New damage model for those two cars as well. Road tires for all vehicles. That means
why?
Well, that's more or less referring to whenever you take like your more like dirt focused cars onto a racetrack, it doesn't want to kill you the entire time.
But at one point, do you want to have a road tire for your super late model.
It's more so that you can road course tire will now be used on all vehicles when the vehicle does not have any other appropriate tire to be used when loaded onto a dirt oval or dirt road track. So I actually said that incorrectly. Did I say that correctly?
Don't get me wrong. One cool thing I think about it is actually I can take the wing sprint car onto asphalt now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not going to handle that great, I don't think. Downforce
be
damned.
Probably not. Yeah, the long and short of it is that basically them adding that availability means that you can take any car to any track.
Okay.
More or less. Yeah. All AI racing for 5 new cars, including the 2 new cars that I already mentioned, the GT3 Evo and the new Porsche Cup, also includes the super late model, the supercars Ford Mustang and Holden ZBB Commodore. And AI
you
racing.
You had an extra B in there when he reset the
yeah,
Holden ZBB.
Yeah, I realized I did. I was hoping that you wouldn't notice that I did that and just kind of tried to flow through it.
I was starting to wonder if it has something to do with the ABB Formula E championship there for a second.
I don't know. Probably just my ability to pronounce things correctly get running away from me. The other final highlight is that AI racing at 11 new track configurations, including the Bristol dual pit roads, the best Bristol single pit road, Concord Speedway, Five Flag Speedway, Hickory Motor Speedway, Hungarian Circuit, Panorama Circuit, Myrtle Beach Speedway, Phillips Island Circuit, and Ribble Ring North, the Bull Ring.
Nice.
Yes.
A lot of short tracks involved in that. Actually, I might pick up iRacing just to do the AI racing aspect, and then I don't have to deal with other people who tend to be rather aggravating and very unmotivating, I should say. Makes you not want to race against people online.
Mm-hmm. Well, part of this update, and thank you for the segue, Lewis, is that you can now have AI racing in hosted races. So it basically, what this ability does, it adds the ability to utilize AI racing and AI opponent rosters for hosted sessions. Doesn't matter if it's a league session or its own standalone hosted session. This allows the session host to bring in AI opponents to fill in unclaimed entry spots for the hosted session, ensuring a full racing grid, and allows for multiplayer AI racing. You will pretty much just see the AI opponents show up in the roster with a little AI icon beside their name whenever you're looking through the drivers in the session. The AI opponents are actually tied to the person who made the hosted session, so whenever they load into the server, all the AI cars will show up. If they leave the server, all the AI cars will disappear. There are some limitations. Only hosted sessions that utilize enable content may enable AI opponent rosters. Team events may not be created. Heat racing events may not be created. The avoid me option is available in the form of avoid players. This has also been updated in offline AI racing. And the session host may edit a pending hosted session with a roster AI opponent. So it's interesting tool to be able to do that. I'm wondering if this is going to allow teams to create a hosted session and just fill it with a bunch of faster cars so that they can get used to endurance races getting passed by faster cars when they're driving around the track.
Yeah. I used to use a similar aspect whenever you were able to put AIs into online races with Forza Motorsport back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever we got ready for Cora endurance races, that's actually how I would navigate through traffic. I would race in a prototype. I would make it all GT cars and just basically lap for hours on end and try not to hit the other traffic, just simply for passing practice and how to overtake them and when to expect catching cars at certain inopportune or opportune times and how to handle them, sort of thing. So that's what I used to use it for. So I fully see it working the same way.
Yeah. It's an interesting prospect of being able to do that. One other note before we go move on to the next part of like AI news that we want to review. iRacing has specified that, sorry, you cannot file protests against, excuse me, against AI racers. So for those who wanted to do that, sorry.
I'd be questioning somebody's sanity if they wanted to do that to begin with.
Yeah.
Well, the computer ran me off the road. Well, gee, I wonder why.
Yeah. Anyway, so a couple other updates to AI racing. First of all, they've updated a lot of tracks and a lot of different vehicles besides the ones I already mentioned. And here's the most enjoyable part of all this. iRacing has put their AI drivers through their 2021 Season 4 curriculum, which includes the following classes. And these are pretty spectacular. You can hear Lewis laughing because he knows what I'm going to read. First of all, engine revving and other ways to look wicked cool. Fitting in pacing order. Targeted and tracking for Type C non-military drones. I'm actually not sure what that one's supposed to be.
I was going to say, could it be any more vague, but oddly more specific?
Yes. Dr. Junior's
although, funny enough, I do know what Type C non-military drones are now.
Yeah. Dr. Junior's oval racing checkups. So apparently Dale Junior's had to teach a class.
I want to see his doctorate.
Risk and reward. The high stakes game of pit timing. Practical application for the hazard handbook. Red, light green, light, how a children's game can improve your racing. A theory of relative speed and maneuverability. Three white nightmares and other scary story. Instructional program file, and I believe that's an actual like a color.
it could be.
It's
FFFF00 space U plus 2691.
It is a lovely yellow, apparently. Anyway.
Oh, it is. Instructional program file, yellow. Yellow flags, man. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Anyway. Maybe that's what that was. It
could be.
Sophomoric single file tactics. Draft or pass. Choose your own adventure by Brent Sander.
Yeah, exactly.
Improving your rolling starts with one simple trick. These are starting to sound like BuzzFeed videos.
I know. So it sounds like a whole bunch of how-to titles.
Yep. SCI-119 lateral spacing and transitions. Upgrading your pit team's consistency for garages and backfires, 5th edition. Oh, God.
The 5th edition.
That's a D&D joke for those in the back. Break so you don't break.
This is great. While Ben's losing it, I'll say this one. Measuring vehicle space using the patented Dirt Midget to Big M8 scale.
Oh, that's good. And lastly, vehicle anatomy, preventing dangerous contact. whoever wrote those,
you won the internet.
Well done.
Sure.
And whoever was in charge of the person who wrote those, they need a raise.
Except for not letting them edit it out.
Oh, that's man. Great. All right, getting back to more serious things. I wanted
the
to
fact
talk about
that that is patented, measuring vehicle space using the patented Dirt Midget to Big M8 scale.
That's just gold.
And actually, the other thing is, they have to update that soon, because if I'm not mistaken, the new M4 is bigger than the M8.
It doesn't feel that big when you drive it.
I mean, physically, from what I hear, I don't know the truth behind it, but from what I hear, the car is actually physically bigger than the M8.
Hold on. M4, GT3, not GG3, Ben. GT3 versus MH GTE size comparison. Thank you, Google.
Yes, we're going to do this live.
Let's see. So many. Here's what the M4 GT3 looks like, but not a lot of.
Doesn't give the dimensions?
Does not give the dimensions, no. Hold on. I might have to do this size comparison live. Hold that.
Oh, here. Move on with the show. I'll look this up real quick.
Okay. So while Lewis looks that up, I just want to touch on this damage model briefly. So what the new damage mode really does is it's a way of updating and improving the interactions with collisions for no damage mode. So previous no damage mode basically means that the cars would kind of like bounce off each other in weird ways. For those who are more familiar with Forza 7, it's kind of like that with the whole Forza glue and everything like that. But what it allows it to do, the new no damage mode is that allows the simulation to execute full vehicle damage, allowing the physics to perform accurately for more realistic collisions. But then after a short period of time, the vehicle will basically repair itself. I'll like think Tony Stark's like nanobot suit kind of thing. It alleviates the impossible physics behaviors that could occur under the previous system, while allowing for the no. I lost my word completely there. The no consequences collision, no consequences like damage. Racing that you typically get with no damage racing. The system operates when using either the original damage model or the new damage model. And a new system will now display when using simulator. It's using any damage model or the normal damage model. It also fixed a standalone bug where players' wheels would sometimes pass through the opponent's car and or their wheels. It'll actually significantly improve the consistency of car-to-car interactions between all cars. Lewis.
So, believe it or not, and this is based off of BMW's website, so the length of the car itself, from very front edge of the splitter to the trailing edge... This is compared to both of them. Oh, sorry. Okay. The M4 first.
Okay.
So from front edge, comparing both cars from the front edge of the splitter to the trailing edge of the rear wing, the M4 is longer by 22 millimeters. Width-wise, the M8 is actually wider by 200 millimeters. The height, the M4 is taller by almost a whole 100 millimeters, and the wheelbase is longer on the M4 by, 37 millimeters? So, literally, the only thing that the M8 is bigger on is the width, but length, height, and the wheelbase is all bigger on the M4 than the M8.
So what you're saying is the M8 is thick.
No, it's not thick, because it's not very wide. But it will take you a little bit longer to pass it.
Yes. Anyway, we have such a fun time making this show.
So that's a big car.
That is a big... It does... Like, I've driven the M4 in iRacing a lot. It doesn't feel that big. It's when you drive an M8 in, like, Forza. It doesn't... The M8 feels big. The M4 really doesn't feel that big.
I wonder if it has to do with the seating position. Probably does.
Maybe.
So, anyways.
So that's really all about the iRacing update, season 4 update that I wanted to really talk about. Again, you can go read all of the stuff that they fixed in the update. There's several UI changes, several membership changes, a couple bug fixes, all of that general funness, and everything else that Jordan and Matt talked about last week with like the tire updates, a couple different cars. All of that can be read on the iRacing forums. Anyway, moving on. Lewis, it's time for your favorite segment.
My favorite segment?
Yes.
Well, there is a particular part of that favorite segment that I think both of us can jump in on.
Yeah. But
do you want to do that part first, seeing how it's kind of going to tie into how we do the show right now?
Sure. We are, of course, talking about the esports update of the week.
Yes.
Yes. So as Matt and Jordan talked about last week, the Le Mans Virtual Series has been announced, to some rejoicing, not a lot of rejoicing, but some rejoicing. Just for the quick, like, bullet points, $250,000 prize pool. You're going to be seeing racing at Monza, Spa, Nürburgring, Nordschleife. That's going to be entertaining.
Yeah, that's going to be very interesting.
And, of course, finishing all off at the 24 hours of Le Mans Virtual in January. Actually, wait a minute. Lewis, when's Daytona next year?
The very end of January.
Okay, so it's not
the same. 2 weeks before. Yeah, it's like 2 weeks before.
Okay, cool. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, so if I'm not mistaken, the order of events should be this event, the Roar before the 24, the following weekend, and then the following weekend, the 24 hours of Daytona.
Okay. Anyway, as the first round of the 4 hours of Monza is set to take place in 2 weeks' time on September 25th, we have actually gotten a full list of the people who are going to be taking part. Remember that each car contains five drivers combining the FIA international licensed drivers and professional sim drivers. So we're looking at 38 cars in total.
That's thus far, right? There's more to come, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe this is the full list.
Oh, okay.
There might be more, but I think this is everybody.
Alrighty.
We have 38 cars in total in this list, 21 of which are the Orica LMP2s.
Which I was kind of not to see single Ligier in that.
Yeah. Well, it's R Factor 2, so they're probably not going to use that one.
It's
right.
It's on R Factor 2.
Maybe they only are using the Orica because that's all they use now.
Not, I was going to say, hey, real life, yo.
Yeah, but anyway, there's also 17 LMGTE cars, but we'll get to those. This list is published online, so we're not going to reveal all of it, but there are a couple of things that I do want to call out. First of all, you get two Roman Grosjean Esports Oricas. You have a Team Ford or Fordzilla Oricas. You have a Rebellion, actually two Rebellion Williams entries, a Williams Esport entry.
By the way, that is the return of Rebellion.
Yes, that would be the return of Rebellion. You have a Red Bull Racing Esports entry, a Team WRT Esports. Yoda is also racing.
Racing.
Yeah. There's two Alpine cars.
Two Baikalis entries.
Yep. So it's they're well known teams that are taking part in this.
Oh yeah.
And that's just the LMP2s. Looking down to the GTEs. Oh, we can still talk about GTEs. There's another Rebel car. There's, I believe I saw another. Oh, yes. Now, this is interesting. So, there's another Roman Grosjean Esports entry, but it has Tesla attached to it. That's interesting.
Yeah. So,
I'm not sure what that's
going to. What if you real world teams in this as well, in this category?
Yeah. There's GR Wolves Racing, Proton Competition. There's two of those. Porsche
Two factory Porsches, two Project Ones. What else is in there? D Station Racing with an Aston Martin, so TF Sport.
Mm-hmm. FDA Esports team. I've heard that team before. I can't remember the significance of them, if that makes sense.
And I think they have the... Oh, there is another Ferrari there, sorry.
Yeah,
two Ferraris in the whole field, which I actually find rather surprising. Meantime, we got a fleet of Porsches in there.
Fleet of Porsches.
Two, four, six, eight Porsches, nine Porsches.
Yeah.
Four BMWs, a single Corvette C8.
Mm-hmm.
And the single Aston, which I believe I said, yeah.
Yeah. One of those M8s I do want to call out before we move on is the BS Competition M8, which would be the team that our friend Angus Fender is driving for now.
All right, go Angus.
Yeah, so I assume we'll probably see Angus racing virtually at Le Mans this year or next year. So that'd be kind of cool, actually.
Well, I believe we saw him there last year because his team that he was racing with in British GT had an LMP2 last year.
Oh, yeah.
Two Seas Motorsports.
Yeah. I wonder if we can talk to Angus and convince the BS Competition that all four of us here are Zebra lovers and we can get our logo on a car.
Well, they already know I am.
Yes, they already know who you are. Oh, that will never not be funny.
I think my Twitter exchange with them afterward kind of threw them off. I don't think they were expecting that much fun with that.
Oh, Twitter is both a blessing and a curse sometimes. But anyway, so I'm assuming we'll be finding out which drivers, which team as we get closer to the actual event. So be on the lookout for that type of information. Of course, and I just want to mention this real quick. Every race will be live on the Traxxon.gg YouTube and Twitch channels, as well as their Facebook page. So if you want to watch this series take part, it's not like you're going to have to jump through a bunch of pay for access stuff. So that's good.
Here's the other question. Are they going to globally televise the 24 Hours of Le Mans Virtual this year like they did last year? I hope they do.
They might. We'll see what happens come January.
I thought that was great last year. They broadcasted all 24 hours of the race, really.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope they do. That was great.
Yeah,
that's what we needed.
Anyway, you want to finish up the show talking about the Supercars Esports Series, Lewis?
Would I like to? Of course, I would like to. So, round three of the Supercars E-Series of both the Pro and the All-Stars would see intense battles for the lead. The Pro Series featured an almighty battle breakout between, almost called him Dwayne, I am so sorry, Dane Warren, Jake Burton, and Jared Fissel at Road America. That would be an epic place to see that in real life, I'm not going to lie. V8 Supercars. The battle will start after the pit cycle saw the top seven drivers were covered by about 2 seconds, which that's nicely packed there. Burton and Fasil attempt to force Warren into an error, but the series leader held firm to win the race and keep his perfect record alive. Well done there. The All-Stars would race to see the Supercars drivers trade in their typical cars for the new-gen NASCAR machinery. Most of the race would see Brody Kostecki and Richie Stanaway, James Davison, James Golding break away from the pack. Davison, of course, made a name for himself in the eNASCAR iRacing Pro Invitational Series earlier this year. However, both he and championship leader Stanaway would have issues mid-race and would drop away from the other two leaders. Kostecki would take the win and the championship lead following Stanaway losing connection mid-race. Both the All-Stars and Pro Series will return next Wednesday, with the All-Stars heading to Michigan and the Pro Series heading to a fan-voted track, which has not been announced at the time of this writing, or recording, for that matter.
Yes. And I
Michigan,
right.
Do they mean the oval, or?
I believe they mean the oval.
That's weird.
Yeah, well, they also traded in their V8s for the NASCAR cars, which I thought was an interesting interesting idea. I mean,
it's raining real hard here all of a sudden. I don't know if you guys can hear that in the background.
I'm not hearing it, so I think
okay.
Everyone else is safe. that's definitely an interesting idea, and glad it turned. Apparently, it turned out well for them. So I think they are doing the mission, the Michigan Oval. And also, I did check just now. There still isn't a poll for that yet. So I'm not even sure what the options are going to be yet. So
going to be a racetrack somewhere in the world,
and on the iRacing service,
mm-hmm.
and probably not one they've already used. So
it'll be somewhere in the world.
Yes.
I win. I just throw a blanket over it and call it mine.
Anyway, so that about does it for this episode of the Simcast. Ooh, excuse me. Lewis, do you have any final thoughts?
Eat more tacos. And by the way, that's what I had for dinner tonight. Actually, I've had it the last two nights.
So you truly had a Taco Tuesday.
I truly had a Taco Tuesday. I had a Taco Wednesday and Thursday. So I've had it three nights.
Yep.
I stand by my statement. Hashtag eat more tacos. I've done it three nights in a row. Eat more tacos.
Yes, eat more tacos. Clearly, the tacos have not an effect on my co-host.
By the way, does it really count as tacos if one night's a taco salad?
Louis Satterly asking the big questions.
I don't know.
If you wish to debate that
at
on Twitter.
At me at Twitter.
Should, yes. At Radiation Lewis on Twitter.
No, at LS Racing. LS underscore racing.
Sorry. I tag you every other week. I should know what your Twitter handle is.
I know. That's good.
Yeah. At LS underscore racing, if is taco salad count as tacos? Use the hashtag SimcastRSL. Anyway, so that does it for this week. Louis is eating himself into a taco stupor, and I have finished off my tea, so it's time to end. Thank you all for listening. Tune in next week for Matt and Jordan to, of course, share their particular brand of sim racing news. Remember to stay safe out there, wear your mask, get your vaccines, and bye for now.
More tacos.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, subscribe to the Simcast wherever you get your podcasts.